Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Scardy. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Scardy. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bigfoot Show. We won't be having Tom tonight because he's got big business that he's trying to get taken care of, and he's taking it to the man. You're going to have to put up with me, the Swede, and the Kentucky Madman, Doyle. Just be the three of us tonight, looks like. But we came here to talk about Bigfoot. Before we talk about Bigfoot, I want to talk about the neat prizes we have on the show. You need to go to www.searchingforbigfoot.com and scroll down to products and look at the T-shirts. Got some cool T-shirts. Coolest T-shirts there is. We've got caps, and they're just as cool as the T-shirt. And we've got lots of videos, and two of which broke a long-standing record at the Pocono Film Festival, the first time they had ever had two films by the same director tie for first place. And that being said, it's pretty obvious who won. But anyhow, you need to check out the shirts and the hats and the all of that, so that when the next time you go out Bigfooting, you can be the coolest person in the woods. Are you with us, Swede?
Yes, I am. I'm just sitting back here sandbagging. I was thinking about all the nice remarks you were talking about, the shirts and stuff, and it's a great talking point when you get out there on your expedition or whatever and you stop at the local diner to get you some biscuits and gravy. You'll be amazed how people come up to you and say, "Hey, where'd you get that shirt?" And then you can bring up the Bigfoot talk, and 9 times out of 10 when we do that, somebody comes off and tells us some kind of a story of an encounter or knowing of somebody with an encounter. So it gets the ball rolling. It's pretty cool. So grab you a long sleeve, fall weather, and they're nice.
While we're talking about all that stuff, just thought I'd make mention, me and the Swede and I believe Doyle, we all have Searching for Bigfoot coats. And, well, the one day we were in Paris, Texas, and Tom said, "You need a coat like mine." And I said, "Boy, I'd like to have one." Of course, it says Searching for Bigfoot on it. It's got 100 pockets. It's got my name on it. All of that. He said, "You need one like mine." And I said, "I sure do." He took his off and handed it to me and said, "See how that fits." And so I put it on, and it was a perfect fit. And he said, "Okay, now you have one." He said, "Swede, you need a coat like his." Well, he didn't have one right at the time that it fit him, but just as soon as we got back to civilization, Tom was on the horn. He ordered up one for the Swede. And, well, we can't wear them at the same time because we'd just be too cool. You know, we would stop
We would stop
traffic. But then Doyle, I'm pretty sure that he got one for Doyle also. And Doyle, did he get you one?
No. I've never received one.
Well,
trust me,
maybe it's...
In fact, we were doing a Bigfoot radio show from, we were in, I think it was Horton's Bottom, Texas. And we were doing a show, and we were just eat up with snakes. They were just everywhere. Cottonmouths, water moccasins, rattlesnakes, whatever. And one of the camera crew guys thought it'd be a good TV to have one of us kill and eat a snake. Well, being me, I was like, "I'll do it." And Tom, we were on the phone with Tom telling him what we were going to do. And Tom says, "If you eat that snake, I'll get you a jacket." Well, Tom, that's been a long time ago. I still ain't got my jacket.
Well,
I gotta figure out where to get it from.
See, me and the Swede have seniority on you.
Oh, yeah, by all means, y'all. I've only been with Tom for about 13 years now.
Yeah. We've been with Tom for a while. We'll put in a good word for you.
You need to get a jacket, Doyle. We need to get you a jacket.
Shirts back to my boys. I'd like to get them new T-shirts where they've shredded everything they've got down there in them swamps. I'm going to get them boys some T-shirts if I pay for them out of my own pocket. I'll just go to the website and order them myself. But let me tell you something, guys, folks out there. If you've got one of these T-shirts and ball caps on and you go somewhere, I promise you, you will get attention and people will come up to you and strike up a conversation with you. It's just like walking in a room. If you're a decked out state trooper with your dress uniform on, people want to talk to you. You walk in with your Bigfoot gear on, people want to talk to you. Swede hit it right there. He's, you know, everything's a nail when you're a hammer, and Swede's a hammer. He hit it right on the head, boy. He's got that.
Well, you know, me and...
It is
me
true.
And,
it is true, Noel, isn't it?
Yeah, me and the Swede was with Tom and a few others in Rockwall, Texas. And we couldn't slow down without people wanting to talk to us. I mean,
no.
If we went to eat, we had so many people. I mean, you couldn't. We had one that just, I don't know. I never seen a human eat that much. You know who I'm talking about, don't you, Swede?
Oh yeah. I sure do.
Yeah.
But you know what was very, you know what was really cool? You know what was really cool about that, Rocky, is with all the young people that was coming up, sign my ball cap and sign my T-shirt. I want your autograph, Swede. Rocky and the Swede, sign here. And, you know, it was really cool. It was very interesting that so many young people had been listening to us on the radio and actually knew what was going on. And Tom was just...
Yeah.
Go get the CD box, and he was handing out CDs, movies, the movie box, and handing out movies to all the young people and signing autographs and stuff. And we had a heck of a time there at the Italian restaurant with a lot of the locals there, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Of course, we had the riffraff too, but it was really cool how many people, just because they saw the truck and they saw our shirts and stuff, and we got some nice tips and some nice leads from that whole episode about the whole thing. It was really good.
The thing that really threw me was the fact that we were standing there. We were at that time. We were also there, you know, everybody, you know, Tom and everybody. Well, then somebody said, asked if we were Rocky and the Swede. And I said, yeah. And I said, how did you know that? He said, we listened to you. I said, really? And he said, yeah. He said, we live in Rockwall, Texas. What else are we going to do on Wednesday night? Well, it was shortly after that that I met Doyle, and it was here in Arkansas. We were standing out in the woods, and Doyle was having to stand on the phone rock. The phone rock is where you have to stand to get any service at all on your cell phone. So all I heard was, said, son, do you know who I'm here with? And he said, no. And he said, I'm here with Rocky Slavens. And his voice said, the Rocky Slavens? Okay. Tommy. Everybody had so much fun. From then on, my kids still do it. We'll be talking, and, you know, they'll hit me with the Rocky Slavens all the time. But, you know, to be in another state, a little town like that, and people come up and know who you are, you have no idea who they are or what their story is, but they know exactly who you are. It's, yeah. Of course, you know, when you run with Tom, you get famous.
I got to tell this story about the Rocky Slavin. That's whenever my old boy said, the Rocky Slavin. And while we were out there, I had, when we were in Arkansas that night on the dirt road to Dutton, I remember, I had forgotten my knife. Back at the cabin where we were holed up whenever we weren't in the woods. And Rocky gave me a K-bar and said, wear that. He said, "You'll find it sharp," which I did. There he's got a really good pair of pants. So sharp. Anyway, Rocky, whenever we get back to Rocky's house, which he had a beautiful home by then, by the way. I can't imagine what he's got now. But we got back to his beautiful home, and we're standing out front where his Bigfoot statue is, and Rocky pulls out an old-timer big Bowie knife. And he said, "Get your camera out," and we put it on the record there. And Rocky's standing there. He shakes my hand, and he looks at the camera and says, "James," he said, "this is for you." And he hands him this knife. And he said, and I was thinking, man, that is such a good, sweet gesture. I said, because my kid was Rocky's favorite. He's watched Rocky wrestle the bear 1,000 times. I mean, he just, as a little kid, he grew up knowing who Rocky Slavin was because he was always on the website, you know. And anyways, my kid, being an entrepreneur he is, he's smarter than his pack. He must have got it from somebody besides me and his mama. But unless the mailman paid a visit when I was gone one day or something. he gets this in his brain. And he gets the film, you know, the video was shot and sent to him on his phone. He takes the video and starts showing it to all these kids around the neighborhood. So then he gets the idea that, you know what, make me some money here. And he lets these kids stand there and hold the knife and take a picture with it for like $3 a hand. And all these kids have got these pictures. I'm not talking about 4 or 5. I'm talking about like 60 kids show up. And all of them's got this picture of them holding the knife that the Rocky Slavin held. And we've still got that knife, and I don't think my boy, I'll tell you what he'd do before he'd lose that knife. He'd run his F-150 over a daggone cliff.
Well, the funny thing of it is, he was so proud of that knife and everything, just like Doyle was so proud of that K-bar. But James didn't cut his damn britches off.
No. But that's me trying to be quick draw McGraw. You know, I was going to educate myself on that K-bar. Because normally I just carried back like a 10-inch Kukri, and it was made by Cold Steel, which has served me well for years and years. But whenever I left that knife, I forgot it, and I was like, dang. But when Rocky introduced me to K-Bar, I'm a K-Bar man. I'm telling you, I like them. Ain't no wonder the Marines kick so much butt. They've got K-Bars.
Well, yeah, and they're sharp. That one was sharp, wasn't it?
No, you ain't kidding. I was trying to drop it in the sheath without looking, and I dropped the knife. Next thing I know, I felt something cold rubbing me inside my boot, and it was the knife. I just dropped it. It went straight through my britches and down my leg and just whoop, right into my boot. I'm lucky it cut my whole leg off. That's the sharpest knife I think I've ever owned. I mean, just be honest with you, it's the sharpest knife I think I've ever owned. My brother was a professional butcher for years before he joined the sheriff's department and retired from there. And you talk about some sharp knives. He had some German steel knives as a butcher. He had a knife collection out of this world for butcher knives and stuff. I mean, he could hack up a cow in a few minutes just with his bare hands, not even using the bandsaws and stuff. I mean, he had some sharp knives. Whenever I showed him that thing, he's like, "How did he get this knife that sharp?" I don't know. But when you're hunting Bigfoot, you better have a sharp knife. Don't you miss C4.
Yes. Yes. Well, folks, me and the Swede was talking earlier, which we tend to do, we were talking about this thing and, you know, how we got involved in it and all of that. And the question came up, you know, when did the when was the first that we had heard about that that we know of the first report on a Bigfoot here in Arkansas? Well, here in Arkansas, the first published Bigfoot sighting was done over Crowley's Ridge in eastern Arkansas in 1846. And the report was that they had seen this big hairy thing chasing cattle down. And, well, he wasn't going hungry. Anyhow, they sent, they had some boys down Louisiana way that come across the line and come up into Arkansas with the intentions of getting it. Well, they went home empty-handed. But anyhow, Mayo, while we were talking about it, the Swede, he's, Tom calls him the Bear of Knowledge because that's what he is. He pointed out the fact that just until a few years ago, you had to be kind of a special person to even get in there to Crowley's Ridge. What was it, like a lottery thing?
They had a draw on the St. Francis Wildlife Management Area is what they call it. And I don't know how many acres it is, but it's huge. It encompasses the, you know, the waterline of the Mississippi River up onto Crowley's Ridge, which is a big, basically a big sediment pile from when the river ran wild there. And it changed position to the east and left that big, giant, I don't know, it's very long. It's 100 miles long, big mound of dirt. And down below in that management area, they wouldn't let anybody, the largest buck in Arkansas, the biggest scoring buck in Arkansas was killed in the St. Francis Wildlife Management Area in the 50s. Maybe the early 60s, I'm not exactly sure, but sometime in there. Well, they had the Game and Fish Commissioner, those in charge, had a lottery, and there was only just very few people that they just pulled your name from a hat, so to speak. But there was lots of tales of people that went in there during the hunting season and saw big, hairy creatures. Along the Mississippi River there in that, you can imagine the terrain, you know, it's probably a lot of it's real swampy, cypress-type stuff, you know, regular Mississippi bottom, and then it goes up on that ridge, you know, and there's hardwoods and that type of thing, you know, it's quite transitional. But there was a lot of sightings over time and where people had been in there and during that lottery, and they just stopped that here just recently. It's open now where you just have to fill out a form, but it's not a lottery anymore. It's a special permit, but you just fill it out so they know you were there. And it kind of makes you wonder why they want to know that you're there in case you come up missing, I reckon. But there's a lot of people that sports have seen, you know, Bigfoot creatures and footprints. And I don't remember what it was. It was in one of the local papers there. It was kind of a national headline thing where a fellow was on a little fire cut road and saw a man-like, large, hairy creature walk out into the fire lane and stood there for just a second and looked at him. And he was looking at him through the rifle scope and said he didn't shoot because he thought he wasn't absolutely sure that it wasn't a man. And it just walked across the fire break and disappeared. And, you know, there was great conversation about that. You know, why didn't you shoot? And he said he didn't shoot because he didn't know if it was a man or not. He said it looked so much like a man, but it was covered with hair and it was big. And, you know, so,
well, you,
so
you
there's...
Know,
yeah, go ahead, Rocky. I'm just saying.
We've talked about that I don't know how many times. People saying, well, why didn't you get a picture? Well, most people, when they're out hunting, well, until recently, I guess, people didn't carry cameras. They carried guns and stuff. So, well, why didn't you shoot? Okay, anybody that's been on the internet and looked up any of the Bigfoot stuff, you can see how many people, how many hoaxers there are out there. And I think that if I drew down on something, I would have to, I'd have to do some serious considering because the last thing I want to do is shoot a Bigfoot and then find out that he's got a zipper.
Right. Absolutely.
People don't realize that where they see a good joke, it's just like I told the guy down there in where did
Foreman.
We go, me and you, Foreman? Yeah,
Foreman.
Down in Foreman, Arkansas.
Foreman, boy, had the picture of yourself in a Bigfoot suit on his mantle.
Yeah, I had a gorilla suit on.
Yeah, on the big on his fire.
I told him, right, and I told him before we left the house, if you got any friends that you know that know that we're going down there, just let them know that you know everybody likes a good joke, but you know if somebody show up wearing a gorilla suit or a ghillie suit or something like that. It's not funny after 180 grain 30-06 bullet goes through your chest. And,
right.
Of course,
it happened too. Surprising it hasn't happened.
Well, you know, it happened to the, well, I can't remember where it was. The girl was driving down the road and the drunk guy in the ghillie suit thought it'd be funny to run across the road in front of her and she ironed him out. And you know where I didn't feel any pity for him, but I sure did feel sorry for a little teenage girl knowing that she ran over a drunk fool in a ghillie suit. But I mean he didn't do it a second time. But you know a lot
so
of people. Yeah,
he took the blacktop temperature test.
He did that. He assumed room temperature shortly after.
Mm.
But
you know,
there's so
the
many
test.
People.
If you come room temperature, that's it. Then you're done.
That you're done. The end.
The end.
But the the. There's so many people out there that would be stupid enough to do something like that, and you know. So I'm not worried at all about telling them. Yeah, if you do that, you know you're pretty much taking your life in your own hands. And the Swede and Doyle, we know nothing. We know nothing. You know, if I shoot a Bigfoot and there's a zipper, well, I can stack rocks. And, you know, he won't ever be found. But, you know, it's just, to me, that's the scariest thing. If there's the scariest thing out there is stupid people that say, oh, yeah, I said, we're going to pull a joke on this guy. Well, like I say, shoot the top of somebody's head off and it's not funny anymore. But
no.
Well, like I say, hey, let's think about this too, guys, and all the million-dollar bounties that are out there for anybody that produces a dead or a Bigfoot dead or alive. And how many
right.
desperate people out there need money right now? I mean,
right.
think about that. I mean, going in the woods in a Bigfoot suit ain't the best idea. It's
that's
kind of like
not
playing
even
a roulette. And trust me, you know, I think there was actually one incident where somebody actually shot a guy in a Bigfoot suit.
I wouldn't.
I'm trying to remember where it was. It's been a few years back. And it was, I think, in one of the western states. I have to research it. I can get back with you on that next week. I have to research it. But, yeah, somebody did shoot somebody in a Bigfoot suit. And he also took the dirt nap.
Well, that's what happens when you're stupid.
It's like in the famous words of during the Iraq War when all these panty-waist left-wing pieces of crap actors and stuff were going to go to Iraq and stand in front of the building, you know, as a shield.
Yeah.
And there was a famous politician, can't remember his name. He said, well, the way I see it is you put yourself in harm's way, you put yourself in harm's way because it's coming.
That's right.
So don't stand in front of the building there, Rob Reiner and all you others. You know, go stand there in front of Meathead. And when the bombs come, you know, it's not our fault. It's your fault for being there. Because we told everybody it's coming. Well, everybody right now in the Bigfoot world knows if the Bigfoot hunters are in the woods and you're out there running around in a monkey suit, guess what? It's coming.
It's coming.
Because you know what? I mean, I've got a lot of health issues and stuff, and I ain't going to be on this whole shitty world much longer. And whenever I leave, I'd love nothing better to think I left my kid with about $10 million in his bank account. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. There's
well, on
that.
That note, how about we're going? Let's pay some bills, Rocky.
Okay, we're on it right now.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned. I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot lives a movie at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back.
Hey, after I wanted to tell the listeners out there just real quick, like, too, before we get too far down the way here. Tom's not here with his computer to take the emails, so we're not the email savvy people to be taking your questions and comments, but please send them in and we'll address them next week on the show, or the next show we will address them. If you send your emails in about anything that we've talked about, or if you want to add something that you want to talk, what you want to hear us talk about, please do so. Just haven't said that because Tom's not here to do it.
That's right.
Thank you.
For all the ladies out there that are crazy about the not so good looking but macho as hell guy Doyle out there, please, you know, don't send emails to me. Send them to Tom maybe or something, you know, because, you know, I'm just getting flooded with all these women that are just trying to, you know, just to get to go out in the woods and hunt Bigfoot with me. I don't know. But just the way it is. I'm just saying.
Now, Doyle, okay. You're not supposed to eat those funny little mushrooms.
Okay.
Go ahead, Rocky.
Okay, back at it. We were talking about craziness and what happened back in 1846. Well, there was as a matter of fact, in 1834. It was after the New Madrid earthquake. I don't know if you know how many people know about it, but it was an earthquake. There's a fault line on the Arkansas-Missouri border that the last time there was an earthquake, a serious earthquake, there was places where the landscape rose or fell as much as 100 feet in just seconds. But it really...
You know, Rocky, the New Madrid Fault, the New Madrid Fault's just west of Crowley's Ridge. It runs the full length.
That's right. Good point. Well, back in 1834, there was a guy, they saw a hairy man. That's what they referred to him was the hairy man or the wild man. But it was, a lot of people thought that it was just a big hairy creature. A lot of other people said that it was a guy that had survived the New Madrid earthquake and basically went wild. And they had tried to capture him on a few occasions, but it wasn't to be done because he might not outrun the horses, but he could outmaneuver them. And the one old boy tried to rope him and like to got his leg chewed off. And anyhow, that's going along with the crazy people in costumes. He wasn't in costume, but they were never sure if it was actually some old boy that just turned feral or it was actually a wild animal. But whatever wild animal it was bipedal and really quick, and the description was had long fingernails and dirty and stinky and anyhow. But
Rocky, we talked about Falk, Arkansas too on the other side of the state, you know, and like at Foreman. And there's lots of documented from the Texarkana newspaper. Lots and lots of over time, a long period of time from the 1800s on all the way up to the Falk monster thing of Doc, you know, where they had wrote stories of people that had seen bush apes, as they said, or hairy wild men, giant, you know, hairy forest giants, you know, that type of thing. All over southwest Arkansas, all the way in the Four Corners there, Texarkana. And
when
there's got to be something to that, because, I mean, you know, yeah, people say stuff, but, you know, there's just a lot of witnesses that have come forth and said, you know, and most of these people didn't have anything to gain or weren't trying to do nothing. They were just, you know, chopping out a living out there, you know what I mean? There was,
right,
you know, just trying to get by, living, farming, or whatever they were doing, logging, or whatever they're doing. And, we kind of seen that with Ginseng Mike, you know, old crazy Ginseng Mike just out there hunting ginseng.
The Texarkana News was the reason I went to Boggy Creek down to Falk, Arkansas. I actually slept under the bridge there at Boggy Creek back in, I'm thinking it was 71. I can't remember for sure. But as I read that article in the Texarkana News, and I was down there that was like on a Monday, and I was on my way down there by the early the next day. But there was a lot going on down there. I can't remember. I mean, I went down there and I can't remember the names. The one was Crabtree. His son supposedly got the drop on one with an old single-shot shotgun with bird shot. So all that did was just run it off for a while. But like you say, you know, we've actually been in both of those spots.
I never did realize that Arkansas was such a hot spot. You know, coming from South Florida, you know, we always heard about, you know, the skunk ape thing. You know, they don't really call it
right.
A Bigfoot, they call it a skunk ape. And there's a lot of Everglades, and there's a lot of wild ground down there when I was down there in the 70s. It wasn't quite as commercialized as, you know, as it is now. There was, you know, the Tamiami Trail. If you didn't have a full tank of gas when you started out on the Tamiami Trail there headed south, there's a good chance that you wouldn't make it. You'd have to wait for somebody to stop and had some gas to give it to you. But, you know, there was always something going on in the road, you know, whether it was a gator stretched across the road or a great big gigantic corn snake as wide as the road. There wasn't any big population of pythons and all that stuff. And we spent time in the woods, and there was always tales from all of the Seminoles there about the skunk ape, that it was there, and they kind of coexisted. You know, they knew all about it. Didn't let their kids go out after dark. Everybody stayed they had these elevated huts up above the marsh grass, and when the sun went down, they were in those things. They didn't go out stirring around. The kids all stayed in the house. It was just like it is everywhere else where the Native Americans said, don't let your kids run around after dark. So there's got to be something
when,
to it.
When I got out of the Marine Corps, I got out in 77, and I hadn't been home but, oh, I don't know, not all that long. And, what's his name? A guy named Bailey, over at Dutch Mills,
barn thing.
Yeah, broke into his milk shed. And, there's footprints all over the place. And at the same time, you know, talking about, somebody had said something one time about, you know, like, where do they live? They live everywhere. When I was in the Marines, I met an old boy named, Donnie Monroe. He was a scary man. I mean, he was just a scary person. But he told me about having encounters with large hairy creatures over in the Laotian jungle. And he wasn't talking about, you know, orangutans and stuff like that. He was talking about really big things, big hairy things. And anyhow, it was one of those things. He said then that he felt that with an M16 he was way under gunned. But I mean, it's Hawaii is the only place that I'm not even sure about it, that doesn't have some kind of a big hairy man-like legend running around. I mean, all the countries that we're broadcasting out to, every one of them has a story to tell. You know, they run anywhere from, you know, said, oh, there's the little thing over there in Thailand that's, you know, only like 3.5-4 feet tall, but it's a nasty little bugger, and, you know, jump on you and stuff. And, you know, just in Australia, they've got the Yowie. Russia, over Siberia way, and there's been a lot of talk about that, because that's a lot of people supposing that's how it got over here where we are, by walking across the land bridge. And it's not like there's a shortage of them. It's just that they're smarter than the one guy said that the way he saw it, they were always on the hunt. That's why nobody saw it. Nobody could get the picture. Nobody could bring the body in, because they're always on the hunt, and they tend to see you first. And you know, I'm one of those things. I don't have a problem with people believe in anything they want to. Of course, I can't go along with the farmers that mutated into a Bigfoot because he got sprayed with chemtrails and ate some genetically modified foods. But, you know, I can't go along with the mud fossil stuff and all that. I can't deal with that. That's all craziness to me. They can think what they want to, but when it comes to big hairy creatures, there's a lot more evidence saying that they're out there than they're not. And, you know, just because you know, the guy was saying, well, you know, why doesn't anybody found a bear skeleton in the woods? The only time I found a deer skeleton, it was just, you know, feet off of the road. And out in the woods, no. I mean, you don't see that kind of stuff. Everything gets recycled. And it don't take long.
In a pretty
long,
quick,
long,
pretty fast manner. Yeah, it happens quick.
Extremely fast. But, you know, the... There's so
I've never
many.
Found a bear. I've never found a bear skeleton in the woods. And how many miles have we spent in the woods? Miles and miles. Never found a bear skeleton. Never.
As
not
many
a still,
times
nothing.
As many times as we've had bears walk up in our camp, where wild hogs walk up in our camp. I've never found a wild hog skull in the woods. I've never found a bear claw in the woods. I've never found anything like that because all the big stuff eat all the big meat, and then all the little things get everything that's still left on the bone, and then the squirrels and the mice come along and say, oh, gosh, we got just bone matter to eat. And they go away really, really quickly.
And, really quickly.
Yeah. But, I don't care where you are. If you're in the woods, if you're in the forest in Vietnam, any of that kind of stuff, no matter where you're at, nature has a way of dealing with things. And, I'm hoping that sooner or later somebody's going to come up with a skeleton. If I get a chance, I'll make a skeleton. You know, I have no qualms about one of them taking it for the team. And we've talked about that too. If we go out there, we're out there and we see one, we shoot it, and it doesn't have a zipper, within 2 days, it'll be against the law to ever harm one again.
That'll be the end of it, right.
Yeah, and then I'll go cash the check, and I'll be the one that does all the new Jack Links commercials. Should not have messed with Bigfoot unless you're carrying a .358 Norma Magnum. So
right.
This
is true.
I mean,
wow.
it's they're there. We talked about it already. Me and the Swede did. We went to Stone Jar Hollow. Okay, Stone Jar Hollow. It's called Stone Jar Hollow because there's Indians that used to live there, and they left a bunch of stone jars. Well, we was talking to a guy. He asked us what we was doing with the backpacks, and said we was heading for Stone Jar Hollow. We was going to stay there for a little while. Oh, I wouldn't do that. Why not? I said, well, you know, there's a good chance that you walk in, you won't walk out. Well, why? There's something up there. There's some kind of creature that lives there, which is exactly why we was going to go up there. Well, then we had another guy that was saying, oh, yeah, I said, I would never go up there. He said the spirits of those Indians are still there. Well, I don't know about that. I don't have a gun to shoot Indian spirits with, but Swede does. Anyhow, that's kind of what we're doing. You know, Tom's the leader, and we've got it in our mind that we're going to prove to the world that Tom was right all along. And, you know, there's going to have to be a whole bunch of people eat some crow. And that being said, I want everybody to know that that Tom has been so kind to me and the Swede and Doyle. We've been all over the place with Tom. I've been everywhere with Tom. Tom's one of the most generous people you'll ever meet. He's got his naysayers, but his naysayers are also some really little jealous people that, you know, sit on their asses in front of a computer all day and don't ever get out and, you know, get any ticks and chiggers. and all that. And anyhow,
Sawgrass.
I just had to say, and yeah, but you know, everybody needs to know that when you're dealing with Tom, you're dealing with real people. You're dealing with a good man.
Absolutely.
And I'm not getting paid to. I'm not getting paid to say any of this, but I mean, the three of us know. The three of us know, and you know, Tom. He's one of those. If you go with him, and you're serious, you're not a computer man. You're kind of
armchair quarterback.
Kind of in. Yeah. You're in like playing. You know, Tom will. When Tom's your friend, he's your friend, and you can count on him.
Absolutely.
You can count on him.
I can tell you.
And
am I muted or am I still on here, Rocky?
I think you're still on, but you know, go ahead.
I just wanted to say about Tom. Anywhere I've ever been with him, my wallet's never been empty. And let me tell you something. All he ever done was put more money in it, and I've never went hungry. I've never went without anything while we were on the road with Tom, and he wouldn't allow me to spend none of my money because he took
this
care of
true.
Everything. And I want to tell you this much about Tom. I want to tell you this much about Tom, and I'll shut up because we're running out of time. But you know, everybody I know, unless you're living under a rock, you know about the devastation in the past few days that's hit my state of Kentucky. The storm of the century. Not one, but multiple tornadoes has basically leveled the western part of our state. And you know, the first phone call I got was from Tom, and it was like early in the morning. So it was like 5 o'clock in the morning my time. So it must have been like 2 o'clock in the morning his time. And he's like, "Are you okay? Are your family okay?" He said, "Do you need money? Do you need food? Do you need clothes? What do you need? And I will make sure you get it." And I said, "Tom,
you know,
we're resilient people down here." I said, I told Tom, I said, "We're resilient people." I said, "Thank God." I said, "The nearest tornado that hit us was two counties away from where we're at." And I said, "But," I said, "no, Tom, at this point in my life, I'm going to be the one donating to others that need help and working to help them." Okay.
Well,
but also on the big side of that. Go ahead.
The morning after all those tornadoes, got a phone call. He said, "How are you?" I said, "Oh, Tom, I'm fine." He said, "The tornado didn't get you?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, I've already talked to the Swede." And he said that it didn't get him either. I said, "No, we're good. We're good." And he was worried about us. Tom cares for people.
Oh,
and
yeah. I mean,
I,
don't get me wrong.
He can be
arrogant and foul-mouthed and stuff like that. That's just part of his persona. But really deep down, he's as good a guy as you could ever want to be friends with.
Well, man.
I agree.
I could have told him that morning, "No, Tom, you know, I could have took advantage of him and said, 'No, Tom, I'm going to need $10,000 because, you know, we're devastated down here.' And I guarantee you, it would have been in my bank account within a few minutes."
Oh, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that.
The way Tom is, you know.
I don't doubt that at all.
Friends, and me and his son are best of friends. When I went through a near-death experience one time, and I woke my eyes up after I came off life support, his son TJ was standing. He was the first face I saw standing above me. And he hours and hours to get to me.
Yeah.
Well, that's the kind of people those Biscardis are, man. They're just good people. I'm so proud to be friends with that family. They're just good people. That's all you can say.
Well, man, we've come to the end of our rope here. And I want to thank everybody for listening in. Swede, Doyle, I thank y'all for calling in. I sure as hell wouldn't have wanted to do this by myself.
Not a problem.
Everybody remember, next Wednesday, same time, same place. Call in, send your emails to Tom. He'll know which ones to put through to us next Wednesday. And I want to thank everybody for listening in. And everybody have a good evening.
Everybody,
good
night, prayers for everybody that's victims of these tornadoes. And God bless everybody in this country. We love you from the Bigfoot team. Swede, Rocky, love you guys. You're my brothers. Good night.
You too. Talk to you later.
Good night,
bye.
Man.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving